The FBI released its annual hate crime statistics this month, putting out info for 2017. The Federal Bureau collects information from police departments around the nation. These statistics are considered the gold standard for understanding crime in America. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin dug into the numbers and joins me now to talk about what they mean for North Carolina. Welcome, Jason.
Good morning.
What's the overall picture for this state?
So top line in 2017, hate crimes were up about 12% from 2016. That sounds pretty stark, and it is, but it really turns out that 2016 was probably the outlier. You had this dip from 2015 into 2016. When you look back a little bit further compared to, say, the mid-2000s or even the 20-teens, we're way up from where we were then. You had years regularly with numbers below 100 hate crimes for the entire state. Now, here more recently, we're up to 150 or even 160, as we saw in 2016.
Where do these numbers come from?
So these numbers come from the FBI. They're self-reported from police departments and sheriff's offices, and then the FBI collects them and reports them back out in sort of a, you know, one Excel spreadsheet, so to say. They are self-reported, so it's possible, in fact, likely, that these numbers are an undercount because maybe a police department doesn't take part in this survey, or the sheriff's office doesn't, or even a police officer or a sheriff's officer doesn't properly check the box, say, for a hate crime. And that's not necessarily out of any nefarious reason. You know, police officers are busy and they're filling out police reports. And this is just one box that even a well-intentioned officer might just forget to check.
What are we talking about when we call something a hate crime?
So it's specifically a bias against another people group. That could be race, religion, LGBT, but it's where the crime is specifically because of, you know, that reason. Certainly there's all kinds of crimes, revenge, somebody just trying to steal something, but a hate crime is specifically against another person just simply because they're different than you.
What can you tell us about which of these biases see the most hate crimes?
It's definitely race. That's where we certainly see the most. Now, I was speaking with some professors, and they were saying that it's potentially undercounted here as well, particularly when you have people in the LGBT community who are minorities. And so what will happen then is a police officer might check the hate crime box for race, but not realize that there was sort of a dual bias there where it was race and also LGBT. So it's possible that certainly, at least on the LGBT side, that it's undercounted. But even so, the numbers for, you know, racial bias are so much higher than the others that it's certainly the driver.
What's the nature of most of these crimes?
It's against people. So the question assumes that you have crimes against people and crimes against property, vandalism and such. But the main driver certainly is against people. And that's all the way from, even murder, but also just assault or you know, verbal threats or things of that nature.
Are there any geographic trends to these crimes?
There are. The numbers show that this happens most frequently in cities and less often in rural areas. Now, here again, you might have an undercount. As I said at the top, these are self-reported numbers, and it's possible that rural areas don't pay as close attention as they do in cities. But that said, certainly in cities, you're far more likely to run into somebody that's different from you, whereas in rural areas, we tend to be a little bit more segregated. So certainly there's a lot more opportunity for hate crimes, we should say, in cities than there are in rural areas. So it's maybe not a big surprise that we see the numbers higher there.
You talked with North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein about these numbers. What did he say?
He's obviously concerned about the numbers. The AG's office, by its nature, is a 30,000-foot perspective, so there's not a ton they can do relative to, say, local police departments. But I asked him where he places the blame, and here's what he said.
In my adult life, I've never experienced such divisive rhetoric from political leaders. I'll say it. The president's language and the way he talks about people, he dehumanizes them, and is constantly trying to cleave lines between different groups of people, and it's unhealthy. It is destructive. And I think it is really incumbent on every other person to rise to the occasion and try to salve those wounds.
Now, Josh Stein is a Democrat, and here he's criticizing a Republican president, so keep that in mind. But we also talked about how individuals act sort of on a personal basis. You know, it's certainly true that the president has influence on people. Obviously, that's the case. But the White House is pretty far disconnected, shall we say, from me and my individual life. I mean, the people that surround me more closely are the ones that influence me more directly on a day-to-day basis. Josh talked about how the small interactions between individuals can have a much greater influence when they're all added together than what one person says or does, even if that person is the president.
We can't just point to one person and say that our fate is determined based on what the acts of that one person. We each have ownership and agency over how we interact with others. For every awful interaction you see on social media where somebody is videotaped, someone treating somebody else awfully just based on something objective like their skin color, you see other instances where people will step up and speak out and support of somebody who's being attacked or abused. And that has so much power, so much power. And that is something that every single listener can do.
He added that his office would obviously prosecute hate crimes as much as possible and was there for any local district attorney's offices who needed help prosecuting hate crimes.
Jason DeBruin is WUNC's data reporter. Thanks for coming in, Jason.
You're welcome.